Most of you know everything that I went through last year in surgery and so forth, having the esophagus removed and parts of my stomach and in the hospital for a lengthy amount of time. And I had to go back often to the doctors, and they did many procedures. I've had my had to have my throat stretched at least four times, something like that. Susan remembers. I don't remember all the things that have taken place. But I'm thinking, as I normally do, about money. And I'm thinking, man, with everything that we've put out, I'm going to get some back in my taxes. Hallelujah. I was looking for a windfall. But God was so good and things went so well that I didn't have enough medical expenses to claim on my taxes. And it kind of irritated me until I got to thinking about it. God intervened in such a way, and the doctors gave discounts, and the hospital and all of that. Wow. God takes care. He will show himself strong in ways that we don't even expect. So if you serve God with all your heart, let me just tell you, you're going to be blessed. So that's just glory to him. Exodus chapter 2, verse 9. I've got about 15 minutes to do the introduction. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. I'm calling this, entitling this message that I'm beginning this morning, "A Mother's Reward." There's many, many rewards for moms. There's many, many headaches and heartaches also. I know that Jochebed, Moses' mother, faced many, many, many heartbreaks. Most moms do. But not to the category that she probably faced them. Having to give her child up, knowing that a bounty had been put out on his head when he was just days, months old. Pharaoh was wanting to kill him. And all the babies that were 2 years old and under. That was a foreshadowing of what was going to take place during Jesus' day. If you remember, Herod decided that he was going to kill all the baby boys 2 years and younger. And he was looking for Jesus, wanting to kill him. So Moses, the lawgiver, Jesus, the grace giver, the law fulfiller, they had that in common. Both mothers felt the sting of that moment. This text that we've just read, Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. It's one of the biggest events in all of history. It's one of the most amazing or things that's ever been recorded. I doubt if there was ever a battle fought that was so far-reaching in its influence as what took place right here. Now, we don't look at it that way. I've read it 100 times, 1,000 times, but I've never looked at it in the form of battle. But there was a battle going on here. There was an event taking place. I doubt seriously if all the decisive battles of history to this day, taken together, was of any greater importance than the event that took place here on the banks of the Nile. The story is simple. It's not complex. An Egyptian princess with all of her attendants came down to the river for a bath. They probably did it daily. Every day, perhaps even to the same place. There was a shallow area. There wasn't a whole lot of weeds and grass and reeds. So they could see crocodiles if they started approaching. It was their favored spot. So this Egyptian princess and all of her attendants, they came down to the place that they were used to coming to. And to their amazement, the queen discovers a strange little basket on the waters of this river. Her curiosity became aroused. She sent one of her little maidens, go get that basket. There's something strange about that thing. I want to see it. So the maiden went, got the basket, brought it back. And when the basket was brought to the land, the cargo that was inside was suddenly discovered. What an awesome cargo it was. So wonderful. So amazing. So great. That it literally marveled those that were around. All of them took that breath. And they were surprised, amazed. It's a marvel that any boat, much less such a reed basket, would be stable enough to hold this cargo. If you're not familiar with the story, perhaps you're wondering what the cargo might have been. It was a baby. A baby boy. A young baby boy. His name is Moses. How did he get in the basket? His mother put him there. Now he's laying in the basket. The Bible said that he was crying. I can almost see those chubby little hands and feet just kicking as he's crying. Some babies can pitch a fit. The basket in which he sails had become a battleship. Because there was something at stake here. That battle is ensuing. He becomes that layer of a siege. He is the aggressor. This little baby, he's the aggressor? Yes, he is. And he is attacking with everything that he's got. The heart of the princess. The battle for that heart means everything. All the princess, the daughter of Pharaoh, she knows the edict's gone forth from dad, and he's like a god. We can't cross those lines. But the battle ensues. The whimpering cries of this baby against the edicts that have been sent forth by the Pharaoh. And the battlefield is the heart of this daughter. That baby that's inside that basket begins to melt her heart with his tears. That heart that had grown up in the palace. That heart that honored her father. That knew what the law was. Knew what the edict was. Her heart had become firm because she had heard all the rumors and all the reasons that we got to do something about these Hebrews. They're becoming too strong. They're taking over our land. We need to kill off this generation. Suddenly her heart is pierced through with a sweet weakness that comes from the depth of that basket. As that baby begins to cry out and reach, he pounds her innocence until her heart submits. And suddenly she reaches into the basket, scoops up this child, and draws him to herself. In that movement, in that moment, the battle was won. When those delicate hands of the princess wrap themselves around that little child, heaven rejoiced because the battle had been won. So this princess, this daughter of Pharaoh, that's point number one, the princess. She's not wicked. I'm sure of that. She's not like her father and probably some of the soldiers that are around her. Maybe not even like her handmaidens and those that were attending to her. This princess had a mother's heart. You can see it. You can feel it. You can sense it. You can almost hear her voice across the centuries talking to this little baby. You can't pick a baby up without talking to it. When she reached into the basket and brought that child to her breast, there was little words that were being murmured from her lips. She hugs him close and said, "Yeah, you'll be my baby. You're going to be my baby. Those big old soldiers can't have you. Those mean old men, they're not going to get you. They won't kill my little boy. Daddy'll make sure of that. Because daughters always have daddies right there. And that doesn't change. She loved him as her own. She put her stamp upon him. Now two bright eyes had been witnessing everything that took place. Two bright eyes had not missed a single little clue. There was a little girl not very far away. And she had watched everything. She had seen expressions change. She had seen tenderness. She saw the princess pick up her little brother, bring him next to her heart. She knew. She saw. She felt sure that the baby was safe now. Everything's okay. And suddenly a daring thought came into her mind. It was a God thought. You know, oftentimes we have those God thoughts. A lot of times we'll talk ourselves out of them. Some of us who were a little older, had we had that daring God thought come into our mind and we were in the place where this little girl was, we would probably say, "And I ain't getting out there, she'll kill me. I'll be dead." But this little girl never once thought about that. And she stepped from where she was hiding. She went over to Pharaoh's daughter. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 7 says, "Shall I go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse this baby for you?" You're not going to be able to nurse this child. Would you like for me to go get a Hebrew woman? I can bring one of the slaves over here and she'll be able to nurse this baby for you. One of the greatest things Pharaoh's daughter did not feel any animus, no dislike, no hatred for this little Hebrew girl. The Egyptians had grown to hate the Hebrews. But there was none of that in Pharaoh's daughter. I believe that there's a reason for this. I believe that the Holy Spirit was moving on the heart of that princess even then, and he was molding it and making it soft and pliable. The Holy Spirit was interfering for this little girl who had the God thought that stepped from her hiding place and said, "I'll go get a Hebrew woman. She'll come and take care of this baby for you." The princess listened to this young girl and accepted her help. And I can see Miriam hurrying on feet that seemed to have wings as she ran to tell her mother all the things that she had seen and heard and what the good news was. When she was still out several doors away from the house, you could hear Miriam's voice, "Mama, Mama, Mama." And the mother perked up because she had been put there to watch, to guard. Don't you let a crocodile get him. Don't you let that basket float too far away. You keep it right there. So mom's heart skipped a beat and she cried out, "I'm in here." And Miriam made her way into the door, and they found little brother. And they're not going to kill him. What do you think that would do to a mama's heart? What do you think would take place inside? When by faith you've submitted your child, helpless little child. And suddenly you hear the news, they found him. And they're not going to kill him. The princess found him, and I told her that I could get somebody to nurse him for her. Come on, come on. This is our chance. But what did he say, what did she say, Miriam? Come on, mama. This is our chance. And to her credit, the mother followed Miriam down the little street, out toward the Nile, up through Goshen, all the way to Egypt, to the place where the princess had the baby. Now, I think this is important. So pay attention. When Pharaoh's daughter decided that the child was to live, that put a stamp on history. Hear me. The death sentence had been pronounced. It had already gone out on him. You and I know that. We've read it many, many times. That death sentence had been given toward every son of the Hebrews, and it was expected to be carried out. So there was something even more important that took place when the princess decided that the baby not only would live, but who would be its nurse. When she decided who would do the training of the child, when she decided who would take care of this baby during his infancy especially, all of a sudden she was deciding, without even being conscious of it, what the child would be and who the child would be. Let me tell you something, Mom. Those who influence your child when you're young, they set that child toward a destiny. They begin to mold inside of that child. Experts say that by the age of 3 to 5, that child already knows 80% of everything it'll ever know. Mind-blowing, isn't it? Suppose, for instance, that this princess, this daughter of Pharaoh, had decided, no, I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to train him. She would have made him just like her. She would have made him in the same mold that she was made. And Moses would have become a heathen in spite of the blood that ran through his veins. He was destined to be a genius. That wouldn't have changed. He would have become a genius whether this Hebrew mother was taking care of him or if Pharaoh's daughter was taking care of him. He would have still been a genius. But his genius might have been very far from a helpful thing. Wrongly trained, it might have been as brilliant as a lightning flash, but it would have been as destructive as a train wreck. This woman, influenced by God, I'm sure, perhaps unwittingly, gave her baby to be nursed by his own mama. And this Jewish mama was full of faith and faithful servant of God. You put your baby in a basket and put him out on the water where crocodiles roam, hoping, praying, believing that things are going to go. You got faith. I can see her as she hurries down to the banks of the Nile. And as she goes, there's that wonderful light that's in her eyes. There's a new spring in her step. Her lips are moving. And as she's running, she's saying, "Blessed be the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Israel, who has heard the prayer of his servant and who has granted the desires of her heart." Oh, don't you know she prayed over little baby Moses? She was putting that basket down in the water. Don't you know that prayer after prayer after prayer was going heavenward? I remember the prayers my mama prayed. I've heard them as late at night whenever I would come in so much in a stupor. It's a wonder I even made it home. Rebellious as I could be, totally against God. And there in the other room, I would hear my mom saying, "Satan, you can't have him. That's my boy. And I've given him to God." And I'd put that pillow over my ears and say, "Shut up. I don't want to hear that." And then I would pray, "God, if I die before morning, please bring me home." I was scared that I was not going to be alive the next morning. It's funny how that works, isn't it? Oh, my mama put a barrier. Because there was absolutely no reason for me to get saved. There was no reason for my heart to turn around. I didn't want to change. I enjoyed sin. Oh, sin does have a joy for a season. But then the wages come due. And the wages of sin is death. My mama prayed me into heaven. Look at this scene, and I'm closing. The Egyptian princess is handing over that precious little bundle of immortality into the arms of a Jewish slave. If ever there was a Shazam moment in history, that was one. Everybody would have had to step, "I don't believe what I'm seeing." Nobility to a slave. "Take this child and nurse him for me." And that Jewish slave began to hug on that child because she was hugging her own baby and bringing him right to her hungry heart. The princess is talking to her so proudly, so arrogantly. It goes with the rank. Exodus chapter 2, verse 9. Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I'll pay you. How many of you mamas would like to be paid for taking care of your baby? This mother, the happiest mother on earth right at that time, she begins to go her merry way. A smile across her face and across her heart. But there was a whisper on her lips. That princess thinks I'm raising this child for her. That princess thinks that she's paying me. My employer is God, and I'm raising this baby for him, not her. She was aware of that. We'll get into that next week. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment, please?